tell you, music plays such a wonderful part in our services and then in our lives as we worship God. I want to give credit to one of our ladies, one of the members of our church who said this. I thought it was quotable, so I'm going to quote it for the rest of my life. Jessica Bruton says it like this: worship prepares the heart for the word, as water prepares the ground for seed. And so our hearts have been tenderized this morning by our worship, and we're ready to get a good word. Now, all of us on this journey, and we're all on the same journey, we're all on the same road, we may be at different mile markers. Some of us been on the road longer than others, but we're headed in the same direction. But all of us know what it's like to get a promise from God. It may be a vision, a thought, a dream, a word from God. We could see it in Scripture, perhaps, and realize, oh, that's God's promise for me. All of us know what that's like and what that means in our lives. And just as an example, I'm going to start with a good word this morning. A good word. It's in Isaiah chapter 41. Listen to what the Spirit of God says to us, to the people of God. God says to us, "Fear not, for I am with you." Listen how good this is. "Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you." Yes, I will help you. "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." Is that not a good word? And I want to speak this morning about the spirit of prophecy. That's when we get a good word, a promise from God. He gives us a vision. He expresses himself to us and what he wants for our lives for the future. And God always likes to share ahead of time with his people what he has in store for them. The spirit of prophecy. Now, all of us are students in the University of the Holy Spirit. As soon as we are born again, our spirit is recreated. Then the Holy Spirit tutors us, mentors us. He's our life coach. His job description is to reproduce the life of Jesus in us. Our theme verse this year is, "Everyone who is perfectly trained by the Spirit will be just like Christ." That's Luke 6:40. And Jesus was a prophet. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of prophecy. In John 16, verses 12 and 13, Jesus said this: "I still have many things to say to you," he told his disciples 2,000 years ago. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he," Holy Spirit, the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of truth, and all of his many names, "when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." Let's not overlook that. Now, Jesus, when he was on earth, among many other things, was a prophet. Now, we know him to be the Son of God, the Messiah, the Lord and Savior. We know all of that. But in his day, he had his skeptics. Still to this day, he has many. But even his harshest critic would have to say, he's a prophet. Nobody can do the things he does. Nobody can speak like he speaks if he were not a prophet. And certainly, indeed, he was a prophet. And the Spirit of God today is prophetic. He wants to reveal things to us before they happen. The prophetic ministry of the Holy Spirit. When we get a good word, we know it's God speaking to us. It's the Holy Spirit sharing what's in the heart of God toward you for your future. And God loves to operate that way. Prophetic ministry, getting a word from God that's an encouragement, an edifying word, a strengthening word, a comforting word from God about your future. Prophetic ministry is nothing more and nothing less than hearing God speak. Now listen, we're being perfectly trained this year to be like Christ. God has ordered us to raise the standard. Now, we enjoy sitting around tables drinking coffee and water. Not a problem at all. But don't think that the Word of God has been compromised this year. In fact, the opposite. God is mandating that we raise the bar and surrender to Holy Spirit for perfect training to be like Christ. And this Word is critical in our training. Because we must learn to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. We must. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. Hey, listen. If you put your ear to the wind in this day and in our culture, there are many voices screaming. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Now, I love reading the Word. It is the Word of God. But he did not say, my sheep just read my Word. Oh, yeah, read the Word. It's the Word of God. But let Holy Spirit speak life to you. And the only way He can is if we hear the voice of God. In the book of Revelation, Jesus wanting to come in and fellowship with His people, He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my knock, He didn't say that. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, he will open the door and I will come in and fellowship with him. Now the world is dark and dangerous, more so today than ever. I mean, it's so volatile out there. Not to worry. We're not the worrying kind. No need for us to give in to worry. Our instructor told us not to do that. But imagine you're in your house. It's dark outside. And somebody knocks at your door and you don't even recognize the knock. I can tell who's knocking on my office door. I can tell when Pastor Steve knocks on my door. I can tell when my daughter Tiffany knocks on my door. A few people knock on my door. I can tell who it is before I open the door. But imagine somebody knocking on your door. Would you dare, under any threatening possible circumstances, just immediately open the door and let in whoever may be knocking? Oh, no. But if somebody knocked on your door and spoke with their voice, darling, it's me. I left my key. Would you let me in, please? It's the voice that opens the door. Not the knock. It's the voice. And unless we hear the voice of the Spirit this year, while we're being perfectly trained to be like Christ, then we're going to miss some of God's best. Here's what's been said. When you don't know what to do, you need a teacher. But when you know what to do and are not doing it, you need a prophet. And even his worst critic said, Jesus, there's got to be a prophet. Oh, he's more than that. But even today, his spirit is the spirit of prophecy. Listen to this good news. Isaiah 42 and verse 9. The prophet speaking the voice of God to us is, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare before they spring forth. I tell you of them. The Holy Spirit in our day tells us things to come. And the prophet here, quoting God, says, before new things happen, I'm going to tell you about them. God loves to do that. It's so important to be perfectly trained to know the voice of the Spirit. Now, Jesus said, here's why. Jesus said, beware of false prophets that come dressed in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now I'm going to give you some bad news. It's just as a preventative measure. Because the truth is, hello, this is a meaty word. Not much milk here this morning. Meat, strong meat here this morning. Hey, we got to handle meat if we're going to grow and mature and be perfectly trained to be like Christ. Jesus gave us the warning, beware of false prophets. People who speak with a voice, if you're not careful, it would sound like God. It may sound prophetic. Here's what Jesus said, beware of them. Ezekiel 13:2 speaks of people who manufacture their own prophetic words out of their own conjectures. Jeremiah 5:31 speaks of prophets prophesying falsely. God said, my people love to have it so. Jeremiah 23:16, I'm verifying where it is in Scripture. Not giving you my opinion, I'm telling you chapter and verse from God's Word. Jeremiah 23:16 said, they speak a vision from their own heart and not from the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah 23:21, I have not sent prophets to you, God said, yet they came running. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Jeremiah 23:31, they use their own tongue and say, thus saith the Lord. Jeremiah 23:32, they prophesy false dreams and cause my people to err by their lies. Yet I did not send them nor commend them. So, Jesus said, beware of the voices that are not the spirit of prophecy. And we, his children, Jesus declared it, my sheep, he said, hear my voice. My voice. So critical as we get a vision or get a word from God to know what to do with it, to identify with it, and then make it work for us. Now, God, he's amazing this way, has always spoken clearly. How sad it is that most Christians today have a mindset that is so limiting with regard to their ability to hear from God. Now, it's not a real problem. It's a mindset. Most Christians, never has it occurred to them, well, I can hear God. Well, you can hear him from his word first and foremost, and then you can hear, the more you get to know him, the more you can recognize the voice speaking on the inside of you. God
has always spoken clearly. Now look, we live in the new covenant. This is the best it is. The only thing better than this is heaven. And if we are perfectly trained before we get there, we will rule and reign in the earth, and it will be so much like heaven because of our being trained to be like Christ on earth. Hey, He's training us to be His replacements. And He could hear His Father speak. In fact, He said, I don't say anything unless I hear my Father speak it. Well, it's easy to hear from God. It's easy. He's made Himself available. And the Holy Spirit speaks clearly. But even in the Old Testament, before the Holy Spirit was available like He is today in the world and to each of us, God spoke clearly. Spoke clearly to Noah. How clearly? Imagine it. Thousands of years ago, and God spoke to a man and said, I'm going to send rain. And the man said, what in the world is rain? Well, it's water falling from the sky. It had never rained until then. Never. And God spoke so specifically to Noah, I want you to build a boat so big we're going to call that thing an ark. And God said to this man, like you and me, to this man thousands of years ago, I want you to make it so many meters long, so many wide. I want you to have so many stories in it, and a window here, and a floor there, and a bridge there. And I want you to gather two of each kind of animals, male and female, gather them all. God could speak so clearly. He even told him what kind of wood to use, which I'm not going to tell you this morning. But that's how God has always spoken clearly to His people. Now, I'm going to share with you some personal things just for a minute or two. I have depended on God to speak clearly to me, and He has. Now, of course, we sometimes miss hearing God, but when we do, it is not God's lack of skills in communication. When we miss Him, it's on our end as receiving. He can speak clearly. He's the great communicator. There have been times He's spoken to me so clearly. One was back in 1985, I was a 28-year-old young man, enjoying life every minute of it. Living in Spartanburg with my wife, and at that point, one of our daughters, we only had one at the time, she was four. And after 11 years of working with a ministry that I had worked with all of my adult life, I was facing the decision of finding another job. That was unsettling for me because I felt called to the place where I was. I knew it was a God thing, and I'm wondering, is this season over, and should I do something else? And if so, what in the world? And I either had to do that or move to California. My job was taking me to California. And here I am with a wife and a little daughter and loving life the way it was. Loving life the way it was. Not wanting to change anything. Just loving life the way it was. But I had a choice to make. Get you another job doing something totally different or move to California. And I didn't want to move. Confusion was ruling our house. And then frustration. As time was running out, I had like another week to decide whether to pack or resign and then figure it out. In my frustration, I said to my wife, God's not talking to me about this, so see if He'll say something to you. And I was kicking doors. So I got in my car, it was a Thursday night, drove back to the office after dinner, walked in by myself, and at the office nobody was there. It was 6-7 at night, and the third line was lighting up. This was before caller ID and cell phones. But when the third line lit up after hours, I knew it was Brenda calling me. Now, I had left her all vexed up. It was my vexation. I had dumped it on her. I've not heard God say a thing. Maybe he'll speak to you because he's not saying anything to me. And I don't want to quit my job and I don't want to move to California. I don't know what to do about this. I picked up the phone and I said, yeah. She said, darling, we need to move to California. Now, if you had been me at that moment after the conversation we had just had at the house, the last thing I expected my wife to say to me is, darling, I think we need to move to California. And it so floored me. I said, what in the world would make you say that? And she said, when you left, I did ask the Lord to speak a clear word to us, what we should do. And I believe I heard the Lord say, if you will move to California and give me 1 year of your life there, I will show you my perfect will for the rest of your life. Now, that was a prophetic word. Now, I know it was just my wife saying that, but it was not her voice I heard. Sidebar, some of you men need to hear God speak more often when your wife talks to you, maybe. I'll never forget it. I'll never be unable to quote it. If you will move to California and give me 1 year of your life there, I will show you my perfect will for the rest of your life. One prophetic word from God. Just one instance of being able to hear the voice of God speak to you changes your life. Listen, all confusion left. You dealing with confusion right now? Honey, work it out. Oh, God ain't finished talking yet. You've not got the word of the Lord yet if you're still dealing with confusion, because he's not the one who births confusion. He's all about peace. The same Holy Spirit that's the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of prophecy, one of his names is also the Spirit of peace. So as soon as I heard God speak, confusion left and peace entered our lives, and we could not wait to pack that truck and head out 3,000 miles, not knowing anything that would happen a year later, except that God said he would show us his perfect will for the rest of our life if we would move to California and give him a year there. Well, we got to California. First day, I said, this is it for life. We got there and there was oranges and grapefruit and lemons in the yard ready to eat right then. Nice warm right here, but I could look up and see snow on the cap of Big Bear. I said, this is like heaven. Oh, where would I go after this? I certainly don't want to go anywhere. I'm going to stay here for life. Brenda and I walk into a church we had never been into. We were searching for a home church in our new state of California. So we walked into Bethel Christian Center in Riverside, California. And the first time we were ever in this church, there were 2,000 people there. We walked in and nobody knew us. We had not met anybody. We were not friends with anybody there. Nobody there knew anything about us unless they recognized that we're visiting. And the pastor's wife, Dr. Annie Halverson, had a prophetic word for me. Now, this is right after we had gotten a word, if you'll move to California, give me 1 year of your life. And we had just gotten there, unpacked our boxes and Sundays here, and so we're looking for a church, and we go into this church, and the pastor's wife points me out of 2,000 people and says, the young man, and I was a young man. She got that right so far. The young man sitting right back there, yes, you. I'm saying, It was me.
She said, I believe the Lord wants to give you a prophetic word. Come here if you would. And so the ushers brought me up, and I'm standing there in front of her, and she gave me a prophetic word. Well, now, I so respect prophecy. The Bible says, despise them not. It's what the Bible says. Some of you sitting out there running, I don't want a word in prophecy. I don't want a prophet. The Bible says, don't despise prophecy. As much as there may be false ones out there, the Bible says, don't despise prophecy. So I framed it. I had it transcribed. I listened to the tape over and over. I wrote it out, and I had it typeset professionally by a printing company. I framed it. I'll tell you why in just a minute. Here's what Dr. Annie Halverson said over me, and she did not know squat about me at all. She said, what you're doing is just a sideline right now. She said, you will go back across the country. Well, she didn't know I had just gone from one side of the country. She had no natural, but she said, you'll go back across the country. You will go from here back to there. And she said, don't get ahead of God. You will know when the door is open. Well, I didn't understand that. And then there's so much more. And sometimes I'll look at this. It's 29 years old now. Sometimes I'll, and there have been seasons in my journey where one line jumped out and carried me for a few months. One line would jump out and carry me for a few months. But that's the power of the spirit of prophecy when it's a true prophecy, when God speaks. And surely you know the rest of the story. We were there for a year, and then God gave us His perfect will for the rest of our life, which was to leave there and come to Florence and start this church. And 28 years later, the Spirit of God is still blessing us. This is my life's work, so far as I know. Now, I thought, and here's the way prophecy is, you'll get an insight that'll carry you. Years later, maybe, you'll get more insight that'll carry you further. Well, for the first 7-8 years, I thought, oh, okay, this is going to... Then God called us to Latvia for a year. I said, Lord, now you know. He said, yeah, I told you I'd give you my perfect will for the rest of your life. For this year, the perfect will is for Latvia. Go over and be missionaries for a year. And so the spirit of prophecy is such a blessing. It's a gift for each of our lives. And we should dare not live a day without it. Now, I don't know what your relationship is with the Holy Spirit, but let me just say, even in the old covenant, the Holy Spirit was such a powerful force in a man's life that David said, God, punish me if you want to. Take everything I got if you need to. But please, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. I had the honor of meeting Dr. Paul Yong-Yi Cho in Washington, D.C. many years ago at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. He is... a pastor in Seoul, Korea, who pastors the world's largest church. They had 1 million members a few years back, and I think they quit counting. But it's the world's largest church in the history of the world. A Christian church in doctrine, exactly like Abundant Life Church. And as he was sharing that day to so many people, I was just one in the audience, and he said this. He said, people ask me all the time, how do you have the world's largest church? What is your secret to build the world's largest church? And he said this, you may want to write it down. He said, I pray and I obey. That was it. I pray and I obey. I've never forgotten it. Life can be simple,
the spirit of prophecy can work beautifully. It's not that complicated. We pray. And that doesn't mean we do all the talking. He said, I pray and I obey. It was a little funny twist on it because he speaks good English, of course, but he did not know how that would translate. It was almost like a rhyme or a rhythm. And when he said it the first time, got a few giggles out there. And the more he said it, the more people got into it. I pray and I obey. I mean, in his language, it didn't rhyme. There was no rhythm to the phrase, but in English it was, and we enjoyed it. But I never forgot, I pray and I obey. Now I'm going to quickly wrap this up. It gets meatier right now. How many of you are ready for some stronger meat already right now? Question, are all prophecies fulfilled? The answer is no. Read the screen as I read it from Scripture, Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning at verse 7, God speaking and says this, the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, to pull down, and to destroy. Now, you know, that's a negative prophecy right there. That's bad news coming right there. God says, the moment I speak to destroy a thing, to pluck it up and pull it down, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, God says, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. Verse 9. God continues, and the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. Now that's a positive prophecy. That's a good word, right? That's the kind we want to come to pass. Verse 10. If it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I said I would benefit it. So no, not all prophecies are fulfilled, even right, accurate words from God. When we get a good word from God, a good prophecy, it's the Holy Spirit revealing what's in God's heart, what's in His desire for us and for our future. But it boils down to this, positive prophecies are dependent on the person remaining faithful to God. Negative prophecies should be countered by prayer and repentance. So not all prophecies are fulfilled. I'll say it simply like this. Warfare begins when a prophecy is given. You get your word from God. You get the word of the Lord. You get a vision from God. You get the mind of the Lord, the will of the Lord, the desire of God for your life, for the future. And it does not automatically come to pass. That's the moment war begins. And now we're tough. We can take it. We are an army. There is an army rising. Warfare begins when you get a good word from God. 1 Timothy 1:18, if you want to reference it. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, do a good warfare according to the prophecies that have been spoken over your life. Well, now, we got a word from God and I'm sure you have had many. You have a testimony. You're on your journey as we are on ours. But God said, if you'll move to California, give me 1 year of your life there, I'll show you my perfect will for the rest of your life. Well, what if we had not moved? We wouldn't have been faithful. We would not have obeyed God. We would not have surrendered to the prophetic voice of the Spirit of God that was speaking to us. And I'm sure we would not have known the perfect will of God for our life. So, in large part, it is conditional. And we go to war with a good prophecy. And if the Lord speaks to you, destruction ahead. You'll see it in the Scriptures. Oh, Lord, I'm afraid that's me. I'm so guilty. Well, that can be averted by prayer and repentance. I'm going to read some selected verses from Jonah. They're on your screen just for verification. But here's another real life example. Jonah chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now the word of the Lord, came to Jonah the second time. Some of you need the word of the Lord to come to you the second time. All of us do. Jonah did. Now, I'm not going to take the time to tell you about the word of the Lord coming to Jonah the first time, because that is a whale of a story. Suffice it to say, we're just going to talk for a minute here about the word of the Lord coming to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Verse 4, Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and then he cried out and said, now here's Jonah, the prophet of God, reluctant at first, but after he got the word the second time, he was willing. And he declares a prophetic word over that city. God told him to tell them this. So Jonah shows up at Nineveh and says to the city, that evil city, 40 days from now, you're going to be overthrown. An enemy is going to come in and take over you, take over your children. Life as you know it will be over 40 days from now. God told me to come tell you that. Verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God. Now they had just gotten a negative prophecy. But what was their response? They believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and took off his robe and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. That was a physical sign, a type and a symbol of repentance. Verse 9, the king said this, who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish? Verse 10, then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. So what we have here in this one example is a true prophecy, an accurate word. God saying, you go tell that city, I said, they're going to be destroyed in 40 days because of their evil. Now, if God speaks, it's true prophecy. But it was averted because of prayer and repentance. And God relented or changed his mind. Positive prophecies, that's the kind we all like. That's the kind where God says, don't worry about the enemy, those who've been bothering you. I'll take care of them. You'll go looking for them. You won't even be able to find them. They'll be as nothing. They'll be non-existent. Let me take care of them for you. I'll uphold you by my right hand of righteousness. Good prophecy like that. Will it come to pass? Not automatically. How can we bring it to pass? By doing a good warfare with that prophecy and by remaining faithful and obedient to God. Negative prophecies like the one Nineveh had were countered by prayer and repentance, and God relented. I tell you, it's the goodness of God. This is heavy for me because it came to me yesterday just fresh for me. I always thought my repentance led me to the goodness of God. Now, repentance, changing your mind, which will lead in changing your direction, your behavior, your attitude, and so much more. I always thought, listen carefully, always thought that my repentance led me to the goodness of God. But it didn't. Romans 2:4 says it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. He's that good. Listen, I've had it backwards. Maybe if you have also. Just thought when I repented and turned to God, that's when I found His goodness. Oh no, honey. His goodness found you in that mess. and brought you into a place of repentance. Will you stand with me?